Yes.
Perhaps maybe if you feel appropriate, we were quite curious to know more about Manjari Tattva. Like, what is their form and what are their bhav and what are they made of and like.
Manjari Tattva. That's quite a big discussion of finishing about 5 minutes. But Manjari, first of all, there's 5 types of Sakis. Saki means friend, girlfriend of Krishna. I mean, girlfriend of Radharani. One type of Saki is known as a Nitya Saki. Nitya Saki or Pran Saki. You can also read something in Radhakrishna Ganadesh Deepika. Radhakrishna Ganadesh Deepika by Rupa Goswami and also Ujjala Nilamani by Rupa Goswami. There's some description of the Manjaris, these type of Sakis. And these Nitya Sakis, they're called Manjaris because when you have a flower, especially if you have Tulsi, Tulsi is very common flower to compare. Tulsi makes a little flower, there's a little tiny flower. And before it goes to flower, there's a little flower bud. Looks like a little bullet. That's called a Manjari. So what happens, they say that the Madhusudan or the Madhukar, Madhusudan means bee, he lands on the flower to drink the nectar. You must have observed, when the bee is moving from one flower to another flower, then the plant is shaking because the bee is kind of heavy. And he lands on the flower, then he walks around the flower, then the plant kind of shakes with the weight of the bee or with the wind. So when the bee is enjoying the flower, taking the nectar out of the flower, then also the Manjaris are also shaking and moving, because the Manjaris are connected to the stem, and they're also moving. So this Madhusudan, in this case, this is the bumblebee of Krishna. He's a bumblebee, and the flowers is Radharani, or the Sakis. And the Nitya Sakis are the Manjaris on the plant. So in Krishna, the bumblebee is enjoying with the Sakis, then the Manjaris also feel the pleasure. When the flower shakes, the Manjaris also shake, because they're nearby. They're situated very nearby in the plant. So the Manjaris, their form is just like the gopis form. They're female, obviously. And they're just a little bit younger in age, like Radharani's age. We're told in the Shastras that Radharani's age is 14 years and 2 months and 15 days. And Lalita Sakhi is 27 days older. So the Sakhis are around 14, 15. Like Lalita and Shaka and Elsa Sakhis. And Krishna is about 16. 15 years, 9 months and 7.5 days. That's what they say. Now the Manjaris, they're like 11, 12, 13. They're a little younger, 1 or 2 years younger. But they're quite shapely. And they're... You can read also in Vrindavan Mahimamrita, which you must, is in one volume in English, you can buy it, by Prabhupada Saraswati. It's in one volume, Rasbihari has that book. There's many, many verses in there describing meditations on the Manjaris. And this book was written long, long ago, way before even this principle of Siddha Pranali was enacted or so much popular. There was even a meditation was given there. And also in the Sanat Kumara Samhita also has a meditation on Manjaris, which is spoken by the 4 Kumaras. So this is this idea of thinking of the Manjari Srupa and meditating on it has been going on for a long time. So their forms are described there. They're just beautiful, like teenage girls. A very thin waist, and they have, it's described budding breasts. Whereas Radharani's breasts are described like pomegranate fruits or like bale fruit. But anyway, obviously the Radharani must be, of course her body is totally transcendental, there's nothing material. They're very beautiful. So the Manjaris are also very, very beautiful. And they're all golden in color, different shades of gold. White gold, pink gold, red gold, you know, different bluish gold, different shades of blue. I mean gold. Some like sandalwood, like moonbeams, all gold, golden color, like Radharani. Mostly all the mantras are like that. Basically, they look like Radharani. So they're very, 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 very beautiful and very enticing and attractive to Krishna. Even Krishna tries to catch them sometimes. And even he does, even sometimes he embraces them and kisses the mantras also. And he wants to do more. But the mantras, at least in one category of mantras, they're called Radhasneha Adhika. They have extra additional affection for Radharani. So they're Radharani's personal, they're called Paliyadasi of Radharani. Pali means protected maidservants. So their everything is Radharani. And the service of Radharani is their everything. So this is a teaching of our six Goswamis, because they're also this type. They're also mandris. And you can read in Vilapkusa Manjali by Raghunath Das Goswami, and also in Sankalpa Kalpa Druma by Vishwanath, which we translated. Describes how the mandris serve the different services, which are also listed in Radhakrishna Ganadesha Ivika. So the mandris, they look like Radharani, and they're dedicated to Radharani's service. And there are 16 different types of services that they do. The sakis do in general, then mantris also do. They arrange for Radha's meeting with Krishna. They take Radharani's side when there's an argument between Radha and Krishna. They carry letters, love letters, between Radha, from Radha to Krishna, or vice versa. And they assist in Sringar and dressing Radharani. And they escort Radharani when she goes out for Abhisar to meet Krishna. And they assist her in her services to Krishna. When she's cooking Krishna's breakfast, they assist her. And they dress her and everything that's involved with dressing, brush her hair, dress her, and help her with her, you know, toiletries and her tooth powder. And even sometimes they can hold a tongue scraper for her. She's a golden tongue scraper. And if Radharani's too tired, she just goes, and Mandri scrapes her tongue for her. And then take Radharani's side whenever there's an argument, and they prepare a betel nut for Radharani, and they make garlands for Radharani, and they crush chandan for Radharani, you know, grind sandalwood paste, and they decorate Radharani. That's all part of dressing, dressing, bathing, all these things: bathing, dressing, decorating, brushing her hair, painting alta on her feet. Painting red dye on her feet, and putting mehendi on her, painting mehendi designs on her hands, and or ornaments, and painting her face, painting her breasts with kasturi designs like vines with little leaves on it, and sometimes some makara dolphin on the top side of the breast, so Krishna will see that nice design. Or on her eyes, putting kajal, preparing kajal for Radharani, putting kajal on her eyes. And so, especially in the summertime, sewing outfits, flower outfits, making flower cholis. You know, this choli thing of ladies where they make them out of flowers. Like, you know, Bunky Bihari's flower dress and you know, full bungalow they have in the whole temple, so many, yeah. So they make, even to describe, they wear flower shoes. They make flower shoes, and it just covers the top of their feet. It's like mock shoes. There's no soles, so their soles, they don't have any soul. They are soul. There's no inside and outside of their body. They're all such an anavigraha, so they don't have any soul. We have a soul and a body, but they just have transcendence. So they don't wear, they go barefoot in Vrindavan. Foot loose and fancy free. They have an expression like this. Foot loose and fancy free. So they make these flower shoes, and they wrap around the ankle and they cover on the top of the foot. It's like a decoration. And then they make flower armlets. Sometimes they try to imitate the Navaratna jewels. There's something called Navaratna. There's nine planets. So there's nine jewels for each of the planets. Hira for Shukra, and Ruby for Surya, and Moti for Chandra, and, you know, like this. Emerald for Bud. So these nine planets have their nine jewels, and you wear a little thing around your arm, Navaratna, around your neck, Navaratna, nine jewels, and it's good for health and, you know, all these kind of things. Balance your stars. So they make Navaratna flower ornaments. Around, they make some band around their forearm, they make a band, and then they make a little circular thing with a red flower and a white flower and blue, yellow, different color flowers. Nine different flowers. Navaratna flower armlets. Then they make flower bracelets, and they make flower rings.
Earrings.
Flower earrings. I'm about to speak of flowers in the hair. You know, flowers that go down the hair part. You know, lady has simanta. It's called simanta. Flowers in the hair part and here. Then flowers. Then the mantris take bakul, especially bakul flowers. They're very small and very fragrant. And they put them in Radharani's braid. And they weave them into the braid. So mantris are very expert in all these different... There's 16 different services. I mentioned about 8 or 9 of them, I suppose. Maybe I don't know most of them. So they do these different services for the pleasure of Radharani. Radharanis are everything. They're like Radharani's shadow. Wherever you go, your shadow goes. Your consciousness extends into your shadow. So Radharani's consciousness extends into the heart of the mantris. But even if a mantri is in Radhakund and she's picking flowers and waiting for Radharani to come, and Radharani is somehow detained by, at last minute, detained in Yavat by her suspicious mother-in-law, Jatila, and Radharani is taken back to her room, and Radharani starts crying because she can't go to meet Krishna at Shamakund or Radhakund. Then as soon as Radharani starts crying in Yavat, then the mantri starts crying at the same moment. Because she knows her heart, whatever Radharani's heart is feeling, the mantri's feeling. It's called Tadatmika. Bhava Tadatmika. She's one with the Bhava of Radharani. Radharani's Mahabhava is reflected in the heart of the mantris. So only the mantris can actually understand this Mahabhava of Radharani to the fullest extent. Krishna, of course, comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to try to understand it. And he usually faints before he understands it. When he starts to perceive it, then he swoons. Can't contain it, can't hold it, or starts gnashing his teeth against the wall, the gambira, or bleeding, or it really goes unbelievable ecstatic transformations that never been seen before in any incarnation or anywhere. Unbelievable ecstatic symptoms. And then this is so much intimate, the mantris are with Radharani, that Radharani, sometimes she gets chewed betel nut from Krishna when they're kissing. And then Krishna passes his Mahaprasadi, his Prasadi Pandaradha. And the mantris are just sitting by, the mantris are so intimate, so lucky, and so close with Radharani that they can be inside the room in the kunja, in the bower house. And Radha and Krishna are lying on the flower bed, and mantris are just standing by the side. And they may be pulling on a fan, or maybe have a hand fan like this, fanning them. But it won't be just some fan like this from Assam made by the driver. But these fans, they can be like bamboo, but they'll be like some framework. And it won't be solid. There'll be some outline or framework of a fan and some mechanism like this. But inside the framework, flowers will be laced in there. There'll be just some basic outline like this with a few crisscross, you know, like this, right? A circle like this. Or some frame, and then they'll weave different fresh flowers, they'll weave into that fan. So it's called a flower fan. So when they go like this, and every time it turns, it just fresh flower fragrance flows in the face. So it's very nice. So the mantri is doing like this to Radharani, like this thing he's doing. And then she's lying with Shyam, and then Shyam, you know, maybe he falls asleep, or maybe he just closes his eyes, and Radharani turns and looks at the mantri, and she goes like this at the pond, and the mantri puts her hand there, and then Radharani puts the pawn in the mantri's hand, and then and she really fans, and five speeds. So this is the type of how close. Even I read one place where the mandris, sometimes the Radharani keeps calls one mandri and calls her into the flower bed. Says, you stay with me tonight. So she's there in one corner of the flower bed, being very quiet. And Krishna comes in, because he's like a mad bull elephant. You know, and he doesn't know, can't see straight, he doesn't know what's going on. He just sees Radharani. He's like Arjuna with the fish. When Arjuna was trying to win the hand of Draupadi, then, you know, he just saw the eye of the fish reflected in the water, and he shot the eye of the fish, and he got the hand. So Krishna, he can't see anything, he becomes so mad and excitement to meet Radharani and to be with her, that he can't see anything, all he can see is Radharani. So he gets in the flower bed with Radharani, and they spend their time in intimate pastimes. And the whole time Mantri's there. You know, because Radharani says, you just come with me, you be quiet, and you just observe. You just enjoy the evening with us. You spend the evening with us. So that was her service, just to follow Radharani's order and just to be there. So I just want you to be there. Just be with me. So then towards the morning, it's about time to get up, and Krishna turns over and, hey, who's this? Who is this Manjari? Oh, that's nobody. It's my friend. It's one of my friends. Where'd she come from? She just came. No, I think she's been there all night. What? She's been here all night. What is this? So, no, she's very close to me. Oh, anyway, okay, whatever it was. So Krishna doesn't care. So this could never, ever, ever, ever happen with Lalita, Vishaka, or Chitra, or Champak, or Sudevi, Rangadevi, or Indulekha, or Tangravidya. It's not possible. Because they're like equals, similar age and sometimes older. And they're exhibiting particular Nayaka bhavs. Nayaka bhavs. There's eight different bhavas, Kalahantarita, and Kila Kinchit, and Sajika, Vasa Sajika, and Swadina Bratrika. There's different bhavas, and each one of these sakis, there's eight major Nayaka bhavas, and each of the Asa sakis exhibit one of these and displays one of these in its perfectional form. So they have a contribution to make to Krishna, to fill him with a particular type of happiness by displaying this bhav and all the attributes and variegatedness of this bhav for his pleasure, for his happiness. So in one sense they're somewhat competitors, although in the ultimate issue all the asasakis are expansions of Radharani directly. So it's like a mystic yogi. The yogi can expand himself into eight forms. The Prabhupada said it's just like a television. Like you go in a TV store and all eight televisions, they have so many TVs and they're all having the same channel. They're all the cricket match. But one, but there's a cheap one and a costly one, but it's all the same TV show and all. So that when the yogi expands into eight, all eight have to do the same thing. It's like eight Xerox copies, Xerox yogi, photocopy. But so Radharani, she's expanded herself into eight the Astasakis. So it's nine altogether. So there's Astasakis plus Radharani. But they're all her expansions, direct expansions of her. They're actually all her. But they're not doing all the same thing. They're all exhibiting eight different bhavas, actually nine different bhavas. Two of them exhibit. There's eight different major Nayaka bhavas, but two exhibit the same one. Svadina Bhattrikam bhav. So this is some of the hierarchy up there. The mandris are one of the five types of sakis. And they are. Radharani has her group of mandris. Lalita Sakhi also has her group of mandris. And Vishaka Sakhi has her group of mandris. There are so many groups of mandris. Every Sakhi has a group of mandris.
Like if they are these.
Some of them get tired also.
if they are like these eight main. Manjaris. So but they are like, because it's kind of, as I understand it, described like Rupa is like the leadership of Lalita Manjari.
Yeah.
And like, you know,
yeah, Rati is usually considered with Vishakha.
Rati. But they are always with Radharani also.
Yeah, because Vishakha is always there.
But they serve Radharani, don't
they? Yeah, they serve Radharani. Yeah, in terms of Sakigan, like Yuteshri, Rati Mandri's Yuteshri is Vishakha. And Rupa Mandri's Yuteshri is Lalita. But all these individual Sakis are Yuteshri, Jut in Bengali, Jut. Juteshri. Juteshri. All these Juteshris, although they are group leaders, they have, because even they have their eight Sakis with them. Lita has eight Sakis and eight Mandris, and Vishakha has eight Sakis. They've kind of sublimated their Yuteshri-ship to Radharani, or subordinated themselves. Although they themselves are Yuteshris, they accept Radharani as the Yuteshri, and they kind of subordinate themselves to Radharani. So then all their Mandris, they also come under line of Radharani. So though Rati Mandri, this is the way I understand it, Rati Mandri is Vishakha's Mandri. Rati Mandri is in her group. She's mostly with Lalita and Radharani. She's assisting Radharani and Lalita, especially just Radharani directly. But generally, the hierarchy we hear is Radharani, and because Lalita is the chief of all the Yuteshris. I mean, Radharani is the chief Yuteshri, but Lalita is definitely the chief of all the Yuteshris. And Rupa Mandri is the chief of all the Mandris. So Lalita coordinates all the other Yuteshris, Vishakha, everybody, in their service to Radharani. And Rupa Mandri coordinates all the Mandris in their service to Radharani. But then aside from their service to Radharani, they may also have service to the other Sakis. But that's secondary. Because even their own Sakis are subordinate to Radharani.
It's like when Krishna expands, no, but because Radharani tells Krishna that you should expand to all the different points.
Yeah.
So then they go, Krishna goes, expands and his every gopi. So then what happened with the Manjari? They go to their...
Yeah, the Manjaris must also be there assisting their particular Yuteshri also. Or maybe in expanded forms. They can also have expanded forms. Rupa can have one form, or say, Rati can have one form with Radharani and expand another form to assist Vishakha when she's with Krishna. There's no limit there. Because they're all Antaranga Shakti, they're all Sarup Shakti, they're all expansions, they're like Radharani. Those Mandris, those Nityaparishads, they're Kaya Vyuha, they're not Jiva Shakti. Special type of Shakti. So that type of Shakti that can expand so many times. Of course, even Jiva Shakti, per the will of the Lord, can also expand. Narada Muni, he has expansions or different, as described in Jiva Dharma. Does that give you some idea? There's a lot. We can read a lot of things also. I'm just speaking of what little bit I know. Sakis do many of the same things. Sakis and Mandris do many of the same things. Lalita, Vishakha, they also make garlands, they also carry love notes, and many of the same, because these are services of Sakis. Mandris have some specific things, as I mentioned. And their angle of vision is always Radharani. The Mandris are always connected with Radharani in that regard.
No,
they have a special type of bhav. Rupa Goswami, sometimes there's a debate whether it's just Madhura Rati or whether it's a separate Rati. Generally it's told there's five style bhavs. Shanta Rati, Dasi Rati, Sakhi Rati, Vatsali Rati, and Madhura Rati. Conjugal love, which can be married or unmarried. Swakia, my own, or Parakia, another, belonging to another. Swakia means mine, belonging to me. Parakia means belonging to another, means paramour love. Vaikuntha and Dwarka is Swakia, And Braja Gokula is Parakya. Gopis are married to someone else and they belong to someone else, but Krishna catches them. Yeah, so these are the five ratis, stai bhavs or stai ratis. So many acharyas say that the mandris, their type of love and their type of attitude towards Radharani is simply madhura rati, but it's part and parcel of conjugal love. They assist the conjugal sports of Radha and Krishna. So it's not really a separate rati, it's just part of madhura rati. They assist in the conjugal love, the parakiya bhav of Radha and Krishna, and they're the mandri's rati. What is their staiva? Madhura rati. And they're not sakya, they're not sakya rati. And they're not vatsalya, and they're not dasya. They're madhura. They're involved with the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. That's all they're involved with. So that's their staiva. But then Rupa Goswami, he makes argument, and his contention is that it is actually a separate, a sixth rati, a sixth stai rati, which is nowhere in Rasa Shastras, because Rasa Shastras were written by Bharat Muni. Bharat Muni wrote the Natya Shastra, which is all about, Natya means dance and drama. Natya means dance and drama, and in there that describes Rasa Lankar and all these different aspects of Rasa and Sanchari Rasa and all these things that we know. So Rupa Goswami has taken all that science and spiritualized it and applied it to Radha and Krishna's pastimes rather than just mundane dramas. Because mundane drama, there's pathos and there's love and there's friendship and there's vibhatsa and rodra and karuna and all these different rasas are also there in drama. There's compassion, there's fear, there's amazement, there's ghastliness, there's all these experiences are there. Vira ras, chivalry, vira ras. So all these rasas are also there in Radha Krishna's lila, but they're perfect and pure and original and transcendental. So Rupa Goswami has shown that. So he's made a special observation and contribution to say that the mandris have a special type of rati that's not described anywhere. It's called bhavulas rati. Bhav ulas rati. Rati means attachment. Rati means attachment or bhav or prem. It also means this, rati. And bhav means emotions, deep emotions or love. And ulas means arising or following suit or giving forth, or like rising up like this, bursting, or erupting. So that their rati, their madhura rati, okay, no doubt. But there's a special. You can say it's madhura rati because it's related to conjugal rasa, but it's something special that they have, that no one else has, because the sakis are also madhura rati. All the sakis, there's five sakis, are all madhura rati. Mandodarati, that's their stai bhav. But mandris that are Radha Snehadika, that have this intense extra affection for Radha, and their service, Radha Dasya, the service of Radharani is their everything. They have something special that no one else has, none of the other sakis have. That is, whatever is rising in the heart of Radharani, that rises in their heart, and not in the sakis heart. Because they're tadatmika with Radharani. Radharani cries, they cry. Radharani left, they left. Radharani's happy, they're happy. Radharani's sad, they're sad. And the other sakis may or may not be, or not to the intensity. So whatever rises, whatever ulas, whatever, if there's a wave, and a tsunami, then there's a wave in a Radhakund. That's what actually happened. When there was that tidal wave over there, at the same time there was a little tidal wave in Radhakund. Were you here then? You weren't here. That's like, yeah, that's quite amazing. Same time of the day. And only in Radhakund, not Govindakund, Mansi Ganga, Prince River, anywhere. So many kunds. And not in Shamakund either. That was really tsunami. Auspicious name. So these mandris are just like, they are the other side of Radharani. The one side of Radharani, like a coin of love. So this rati, he's categorized as Bhavulas rati. So this is the stai rati of the mandris is bhavulas. It is a reflection, it is Radharani's heart reflected in their heart, like a heart transplant. The original heart transplant, bhavulas rati. So it's a very special and unique rati, and it's so special in its expression and manifestation and experience that is considered to be a separate Stai Bhav, or separate Rati, Stai Rati. It's a little esoteric type thing, but this is how he's describing this, and that's pretty much it's accepted by all the acharyas, Vishwanath and others. We follow, or Rupanuga, we're following this Rupanuga Dhara, means the river of conception. Dhara means line or line or river. The river of conception, the current. Dhara means Dhara. Dhara means current. Current or river, line, stream of conception of Rupa Goswami. Or Rupa Anugas, or following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Manjari, hopefully, someday. So, this is our aspiration. To study the books of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami and follow their line of thought and their meditation and pray for their mercy. And try and get all the ropes in the village. Collect all the ropes in the village with all our endeavor and all our effort. And try to tie up that little blue boy. And then, if we really sweat a lot, it says that they have to see those words very minutely in the Bhagavatam. There's very key words that are important there. It says parishram, and so much sweating and so much difficulty Mother Yashoda undertook. Then finally Krishna said, oh, you really sweated, you really worked, you really, really tried hard. So, okay, all right, okay, you can bind me. You were there, I told that class, Sachi. Then how did Yashoda bind Krishna after she collected? Every cow rope is 1 meter long that Krishna carries over his shoulders or he ties in his turban. A rope that they use to tie the back legs of the cow so she doesn't kick the milkman or the milk girl or whatever. The milk gopi. And then also to tie the calf has many purposes. So that means 36 inches. That means Krishna's waist was 36 inches. No, 1 meter is 38 inches. And he's really fat. I mean, it's like his waist is as big as Vishal or something. I have to edit that. You know, his big, big belly, big, big monkey, Ceylon calling, melancholy. Prabhupada quoted this thing. Ceylon means Sri Lanka. Because all the monkeys were trying to jump over to Sri Lanka, but they were too fat and too old. Kali Hanuma did it. Big, big monkey, big, big belly, Ceylon calling, melancholy. So one rope is 38 inches long, so that means Krishna's waist is. And she had hundreds and hundreds of ropes she couldn't. And every time she got around Krishna's waist, it was 2 inches too short. It was two fingers, they say. It represents two fingers. So one finger was her sweat, her tears and her sweat and her endeavor and her parishram. And the other finger was Krishna's mercy. So when Krishna finally revealed or released or displayed his mercy, then she had this big, huge pile of ropes collected from the whole village, thousands and thousands of meters. Looked like a rope store, storage of rope. And she went, I don't know, I guess you weren't here. You were in that class? Maybe you were sleeping. Mother Yashoda, she went, oh, this Lala, I've tried so much. I mean, I have no energy left. I can't even lift my arms. I tied so many ropes. I collected so many ropes. I'm just perspiring, and all the flowers fell on my hair, and my dress is all moist, and sticking to my body, and I don't know if I ever time. She went, oh, like this, and she went like this, and then she went like that, and there was like a little rope, you know, tying her hair. You know, some little rope ladies use, you know, like ribbon or whatever. And she went, little thing. And she went like this. And she tied him with that. And that rope was just a little skinny little rope. It wasn't even a rope, it was like a little string. I had a little string you used to tie your hair in a bun or something, a ponytail. And then Krishna, you know, she tied into the mortar with that rope. Tied him and to the mortar. And that rope was so strong that when he went down and got caught between the trees, generally you'd think the rope would break before the trees. It's only a piece of string, like What's stronger, a piece of string or a tree?
Tree.
So you pull a piece of string, and you pull a tree. So he got, you know, he got between the trees, and he pulled, and some of the, not one tree, but two trees, and Yamala Arjuna trees, they came crashing down. Because they try to say, how is it possible one little string can be so strong? I said, this is prema pash. This is kevala prema. Kevala prema pash. Pash means robe. So this pash, this robe is invincible. This robe is unbreakable. No one can cut this rope. No one can untie this rope. No one can break this rope. It's called prem. So Mother Yashoda, she tied up Lala Ji. Lala. She tied up her Lala with a rope of indestructible, uncuttable, unbreakable, unburnable rope of love. Motherly love. Parental love. Vatsalya prem. Vatsalya Rati. And even Nanda Maharaj came along, he couldn't untie it either. Because he didn't have that much love as Mother Yashoda. He has lots of love. He's number two. But Yashoda is number one. So finally, he got untied somehow or other. I forget now. So this is what bhakti is all about. Bhakti is all about sweating. No sweat, then what can you get? You have to sweat. Prabhupada said, easy life and Krishna consciousness go ill together. Go ill means they don't mix, they're not good. There's no easy life, it's hard life. It's hard life up to the point of ruchi. Then after that, it's not so hard. Anartha Nivritti is hard life. Nishtha is hard. Maruchi is like, it's on the other, you're on the other side now. It's like you're going up the mountain. It's very difficult going up. Well, you want to get to the top. Coming down is very fast. So it's very easy. And just let yourself go. And the gravity and the elevation pushes you. Just go slide, fly down. Takes you 10 minutes to climb up 100 feet, and it takes you 1 minute to run down 100 feet. Right? Isn't it? You can climb 100 feet on a steep mountain, it takes you maybe an hour. I don't know how much, if you're rappelling or something. Rappelling up the side of the mountain, it can take a long time. About coming down. I'm about to crash, as they say. Crash landing.